I've been talking a lot about esports lately, but no, obviously I do that anyway. But I've been talking a lot about esports and how we're getting that market correction. It's happening. It's coming back. It's going to be back to how it was, I think, because we're heading into a recession. People's budgets are drying up. Investments declining, digital media's in the toilet. And so I've seen the signs that we're getting back to normal in esports. Because remember, normal was shit, just in a different way. Normal in esports is people don't get paid. That's normal. That was the norm for years. I'm telling you this as someone that's almost been in it for 20 years now. Normal is you just don't get paid. The money never turns up. It's empty promises, blah, blah, blah. And lo and behold, I saw a ton of stories just coming across, just floating out there, seemingly not connected. But of course, if you have the right kind of mind, you realize that they are. I want to start with this. I might have to go to a Reddit thread rather than play the video because it's in French. Presented by, and I am very glad to say, a very popular streamer these days, a chap called KRL. You might not know KRL. I will explain why he's a credible source in just a moment. Good friend of mine, Seb. Haven't talked to him in a while, but that's true of many of my good friends because life's chaotic and crazy. But I absolutely adore this man. I'll get into that in a second. But anyway, he put a video out talking about the Heat organization, H-E-E-T, and how they've not been paying out player salaries. Stop me if you've heard this one before. And they own over 100,000 euros to Jax and Body alone. I saw this. This came across my timeline. I follow Seb. I follow KRL, obviously. There it was on my timeline. And I was like, huh. Heat were one of the more emergent second string esports organizations, weren't they? Everyone was like, oh, yeah, Heat are great. Heat might even be considerably, better off than some of the other up-and-comers. That will happen. But it turns out, no, that wasn't the case. And KRL explains it all in a video. I mean, KRL, as I said, has gone on to be a popular streamer, but he is a dyed-in-the-wool, bona fide Counter-Strike player, and he's always been a player's player. He's always been a fantastic captain and a fantastic leader of men throughout his career. So he is a very credible source. And so when I saw this, I was like, uh-oh. You know, and this is bad, because if you think about where Heat are, I'll just show you. They're just outside of the top 30 teams in the world. They're currently 32. They've been in and out of the top 30. You can see here, their peak was at number 18. They even broke into the top 20 for a week. They are, like I say, you know, this is a solid team. Very solid team. Including, you know, the experience of Jax, obviously, coming from G2, where, let's be real, in retrospect, was Jax even the problem? I know they won something at the end of the year, but they were massively disappointing prior to that. But yeah, also Body experience, bit of a journeyman at this stage, but, you know, been doing good, a good job there in Heat. Afro, Exercise, Joker. It's a very solid team. And it's one that I expect to do well at the level that it's operating at and definitely has potential to grow. But unfortunately, they seem to have hit a bit of a financial iceberg, the same type of financial iceberg that a lot of teams have been hitting. And so this is the explanation, because obviously these things, you know, there's always an explanation for these things. And that is obviously, you know, it can be... stop me if you've heard these. Okay, these are common excuses for why players don't get paid in esports, okay? So the most common is we had sponsors and we were on a quarterly basis with the sponsors and either the sponsorship money's not come in or the sponsors have terminated or gone under and unfortunately we're paying you out of that sponsorship deal and now it's not there. Okay, so that's a classic. Another classic is when people want to stall because the money's just not in the pot because it might be what I call a bedroom organization. When I say bedroom organization, it sounds a bit like childish, but what I mean by the term bedroom organization is it's basically funded by a dude. Okay, it's basically one person, because I use the word dude across all of the gender spectrum. For me, I think it's a perfect word for that. It's a perfect tailor-made word for that. You know, it's one person funding it out of their own money, be it their savings, be it credit, be it, you know, whatever. Okay? So it's one dude funding the whole thing. And sometimes you can just run out of money, or you can overspend, or real life creeps in and suddenly you're not able to meet previous obligations, especially when you start talking about even modest European Counter-Strike salaries. It's a lot to be putting out every month out of your own pocket. Now, again, I'm not saying Heat were doing that, but that's another thing that happens, and it's another common excuse. Another one that can happen can be, if you want to stall, people will say, we've had banking issues. That's another classic. I mean, even ESL like this one. It's basically, we've changed our system. We've changed our banking system. We need you to completely refile and refill in your forms. And we're very, very sorry. And we might be a little bit behind, but we'll get caught up eventually. And this period, and you do this when you want to go out and you want to essentially get some money, get a cash injection. You basically rob Peter to pay Paul is the classic. Another esports classic. Yeah, or as Jazza in the chat completely recognizes, PayPal issues. Oh, I got frozen, it got suspended, I don't know what's going on, blah blah blah. So Heat found himself in this predicament, and it's a lot of money and it's got a significant backlog, and this is what their manager had to say. Now, I don't know if this is true. Somebody told me that the manager of Heat is their experience in management is they used to be a manager of like a Volvo sales team, right? Now, I don't know if that's true. I have no idea. I didn't verify that before the stream. It was such a weird little hilarious point. I just didn't even care. I was just like, whatever, right? But anyway, so here it is. You can see, hey, everyone. I wanted to talk to you about the talks on Twitter regarding us owing players money. Yes, we do owe Jax's buyout. Yes. We do owe Alex part of the salary, but it doesn't mean that players are not getting any salary since we signed them. The struggle we are having is when we pay bigger amounts. Jax, his transfer was not something we could make financially. So Jax kindly offered us to pay his buyout and we would return the money ASAP. So, word of advice to players. Buyouts aren't really there for you. I know it's super convenient when, ooh, let's say we're not allowed to deal with a certain part of the world, and maybe you can make it so you're not representing that part of the world anymore, and then, oh, I'm in free agency and you can sign me now. But I'm just going to say a buyout is exactly that. It's a buyout. And if you pay your own buyout, these are not insignificant amounts. My understanding, by the way, is that G2, it was a pretty generous buyout for Jax. It wasn't like an absolute backbreaker like you've seen in some of them. But you have, if you're going to pay your own buyout, it must be to elude a technicality. It must be to elude a component of the contract or some other issue like that. And you must be absolutely guaranteed to get your money instantly. For me, I would even go so far as to say, I'd want the money first. Why not? If they give you a one-time gift payment, a bonus, that's not the same as paying the buyout. So he obviously bought himself out of his contract so he could go and play for Heat at a time that benefited them on their timetable, with the money to come at a later date, which is absolute insanity. And I would say to any player, if that is ever the fucking deal on the table, don't take it. It's not worth it. You're better off on the bench. Because what you have to remember, when these players are on the bench, they're not being salaried. They're taking a reduction in salary. And this can be anything from 50% to 70% one way, or 30% the other way. It just depends on the contract you negotiated. But there is absolutely no contract I've ever heard of, not in Tier 1 Counter-Strike at least, where if you are benched, your salary stops. Otherwise, why would you ever negotiate a long contract? It would make no sense. There would be no benefit. Some players negotiate long contracts in the knowledge that even if they get benched, they will have some income while they look for a team. Some players crave that security. But anyway, point being, this is Heat, an organization with no experience that you've not heard of, and they're going, yeah, listen, we want to play you straight away and come straight into the team and it'll be sweet, 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 sweet. You pay your buyout. You must have made loads of money at G2. Yeah, you must have made loads of money at G2. All that prize money. Oh, wait, sorry, forget that. But, you know, all that salary. And you just pay it and then we'll get you on a rebound, son. We'll get you on the rebound. Like, nah, that's really, really dumb. Do not do that. They go on to add, Alex did not get his salary starting from the beginning due to some changes with his bank. So it started piling up. As soon as he was able to receive the salary, we started paying out. Now, that's interesting, because that's a nice little deceptively vague statement, isn't it? It says that we were behind on his salary. He had a bank problem. And then when he was able to get it, because we fixed the banking issue, we started paying the salary. But what that doesn't say is that we paid all the back salary. What it says is he started receiving the salary we promised, but all of the months he didn't get a salary, yeah, we're working on that still. Which, again, absolutely unacceptable. I want to add, just before we even continue reading the rest of this, you will notice, of course, that this has been public now for a few days. I'm certainly not breaking this news. The glorious KRL is. And CSPPA have said nothing. In fact, I have to wonder if the CSPPA still exists. I would wager one of the things we will see in 2023, and I think this is what they call in the business a safe bet, I would wager the CSPPA will be making an announcement at some point this year saying we are done. Hell of a run, and we're out. And what did they realistically achieve other than to be sort of a secondary PR division for ESL? Crazy, right? Anyway, here's their plan. Here's Heat's brilliant plan. The plan that we had was to raise money in Q4 of 2022, right? So, in other words, just be over the holidays, over Christmas, when spending is at an absolute fucking rock bottom minimum, that was when they thought, yeah, all this money that we owe and we're behind on, that's when we'll raise it. When spending traditionally goes down because it's Q4 and everyone's getting geared up to have their budgets renewed for Q1, that's when we're going to make the money. Okay, well, again, I can tell you, I've run campaigns, you know, I've done marketing, I've had every job known to man, as everybody on the stream knows, and let me tell you, Q4 is the hardest time to go out and get additional money. To actually raise in Q4 is a miracle. And anyway, they were planning to raise money in Q4, which unfortunately was unsuccessful, fancy that. Because of that, we had to remove a lot of staff members to afford to keep players here. And we are trying again to raise money. So, the writing is on the fucking wall. If you ever have to lay off staff to keep players, well, let's be real. The disparity in salary between staff and players, you will be essentially firing people from an organization to maybe keep the lights on for what, like another month, another 2 months? Like, those salaries keep piling up. Staff salaries, staff workers probably, you know, earn fuck all by comparison. So that should be putting alarm bells in your head. Like, at what point do I need to, like, secure a fucking bank loan and just shut up shop? Like, you know, at what point do I need to take out a fucking loan, make everyone whole, and just quit esports? Because it's not for everybody. It really ain't. Then they go, you should not forget, we are a young organization. Oh, I love this one. I love this excuse whenever it comes out. Love that one when that comes out. We're a young organization. So it's like, okay, well, I guess that means incompetence is excused. Incompetence is fine. Not paying people is fine. You're young. You didn't know what you were getting into. No, of course, that's not an excuse. That's not gonna pass muster for me. And it doesn't matter whether you're young or old. You have an obligation to pay what you owe. We don't have an unlimited budget. You don't need an unlimited budget. You just needed a budget. A budget would have been perfect, would have been tailor-made for your needs. In fact, because a budget is where you have money coming in and you go, we have this much money coming in, so we will spend that much money going out. And we will try, because we're a young esports organization, we will try and keep everything balanced and fair, and you know, we'll like, we won't overspend and we won't bring in players who we realistically can't afford because they have buyouts just because we want them. What we'll do instead is we will spend within our means and we will survive. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what a budget is. We did some mistakes. Yep. Which hit us financially really hard, but it doesn't mean we are trying to steal from players or scam them. Now, nobody brought that to the table. Interesting deflection, I guess. But of course you're not. No, you don't need to actively steal from somebody to be in the wrong, you know? I've had it before in my life where people have owed me money for an inordinate amount of time. And then I broke their knees. No, I'm kidding. I've had it in my life where people have owed me money for an inordinate amount of time. They're not stealing from me. But they still owe me that money. And so I'm going to get that money, aren't I? You know, and I'm perfectly entitled to feel aggrieved that I don't have that money. You don't need to be a thief or a scam artist. We are searching for solutions and ways to get the budget as soon as we can to pay back players. It's not like we are sitting on a pile of gold. This is where, by the way, if you ever, 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 ever caught owing money, don't add the self-pitying part at the end. Right? Because you're not the one that's owed a fuck ton of money. You're not the one who's owed six figures heading into a fucking recession. No, that's the players. You're not the person who paid a ton of money up front for the privilege of coming to be your employee. No, that's the players. So don't add the self-pitying part when you invariably do these statements. We're going to see lots of statements about people not being paid and people not having money and esports organizations closing in 2023. That's all coming. It's all happening. But yes, it's not like we're sitting on a pile of gold and not letting anyone touch it. We were always about the players, and I hope players know that. We are supporting them no matter what, except financially, obviously. And it hurts to read comments about us scamming them. It hurts that people are waiting for a mistake to eat you alive without realizing how much damage they are causing with that. Okay, well, again, if you don't pay money you owe, you're in the wrong. Inarguably, unquestionably, there's no little dance you can do where it's like, no, but like, no. You're in the wrong. And you should make this right. And you can make this right. There will be means available to you, you know? There'll be multiple ways that you can make this right financially. But what you want to do is you want to get a sponsor. You want to get a sponsor. You want to get an investor. You want to find someone that's going to take on board this debt liability in exchange for something somewhere down the road. What you are not doing is committing to the idea you fucked up, you've got to pay it back, right? In the end, I do not care what people on the socials think about us, he said after issuing a statement on Discord addressing what people had said on social media. I do care about the players who put their trust in us and I don't want to let them down. Spoiler, you already have. I'm not trying to defend myself or ourselves here. You added an entire paragraph doing just that. Just wanted you guys to know where we are at and that we are aware of the situation and working our hardest to resolve it ASAP. Thanks, the Jazz. So, Pete came out and basically confirmed everything that had been said. They tried to throw in some excuses. As I said, if you ever hear anything like this from KRL, you can basically take it as absolute gospel. Because KRL is not a liar. He's a good man and a man of principle and integrity. Just want to tell you a little bit of history about KRL. And if you speak French, You should totally go and support your stream. But just to let you know what an insane mad genius that KRL was back in the day. This was basically the start of the story, right about here in 2008. What you have to understand in Counter-Strike Source, the French weren't always the powerhouse that they went on to become. Indeed, you can see here in the European Nations Championship, a huge, super important A-tier tournament. Spoiler, ignore all the tiers in this because they are all fucked up. People just don't remember Source because they weren't there and it was like playing second fiddle at 1.6 at the time. But anyway, you can see here, this is Czech Republic. 16-14, we played best of ones. But Czech Republic had like an incredible team at the time. There was a bunch of international teams, MTW, later SK Gaming had an international lineup as well. And basically, the early progenitor for what would go on to become a bedrock of years of French success, was KRL. Everyone remembers existence. But people, motherfuckers out there, forgot about KRL, right? And I'll tell you why. So here we go. This is the My Sights Invite Tournament number 2. It's not a big deal. They got 3rd to 4th at that. He created a team called Nameless. Now this, this is the My Sights Invite Tournament. It was online. It wasn't a big deal, right? You can see here, look at the prize money for this. 750 euros for the winners. And here was Team Nameless, right? KRL, Smits, RPK, Matteo, and Regnum. Right? That was the original Nameless lineup. And this online tournament was kind of interesting because it was one of the ones the CGS franchises could actually play in. So there was a rule in CGS that you weren't allowed to play in any tournament that wasn't CGS. And then the GMs objected because CGS made up a tiny part of the calendar. So they changed the rule to be, as long as you obtained written permission first, you could go and compete at all these other events. The argument being it was better for the benefit, better for the CGS as a whole. It was good branding. So you can see Berlin Alliance was there, Fifth Lauren, Hellblind, Giftig, Sparkle, and Red, a great team. Birmingham Salvo, the Rattlesnake, Wilzu. Why is Rattlesnake not got a Liquipedia page? Get that fucking fixed right now. Wilzu, Wes, PT, Mancha Capra, London Mint. You can see Henry G, Hoods G, Husey Rich, and URL. These were probably the best team in the world at this time. WT, Snakes, PHP, the guy I've told you about a million times, also doesn't have a Liquipedia page criminally. This is the guy, by the way, who was like, he is everything Andrew Tate says he is. He is a fucking chess master, a black belt in like karate and Krav Maga, and was the best IGL of the best Counter-Strike Source team in the fucking world at the time. This guy was a fucking animal. And he wasn't one of them pathetic like IGLs. Carry me. He was like he top fragged on the team. Like, he was fucking mental. Absolute ridiculous. UN and PR basically completed the game. He was mental. I love that guy. Marek, fucking absolute legend. Anyway, Nameless had put this team together, competed at this, and it was all with the proviso they were going to get picked up by Very Game. And so they went to their first event. Very Games was a French server company, and they said they were going to pick up a French team. They went and basically they decided they were going to go with Nameless. So Very Games won their first tournament in existence. Again, huge money. 450 euros for first place. But to be fair, this is a small French land, just to see if there's any players that we might recognize here. You know, Oxmo's got second place. And I know you've not heard of any of those guys. They won their first time out. They had a big tournament. This was a huge deal. This is Eurocreek. It was the first ever Eurocreek. It was a LAN, and it was a European LAN, and it had all the big teams from Europe and the CGS teams at a LAN, right? And look at that prize money. 5,000 euros, ladies and gentlemen, 5,000 euros. This was huge for the time. This was a big, big fucking deal. And Very Games won this one as well. You can see there, it's still KRL, RPK, Regnum, Matteo, still Smits. In there, that's when Smiths was a deadly AWPer. I know it's hard for you to believe, but it's true. They dusted everyone. The XOXO team was Fetish's team. This was a ridiculously talented team, as it happens. Augur was sick. Fetish, obviously. Ritma, Beast, XA. Jimmy, super talented. Jimmy went on to play in a multi-European lineup. He was one of the most flamboyant Counter-Strike players of all time. They were just sick. This is obviously FM Toxic. I can't remember. I think that was the one with Critical. Luke Critical Green, I think, was on that one. Logitech.fi. That was like the Finns. I think Narsu, I think, might have been on that one. It was like Narsu, Odious. People like that. Point being, Very Games won. They won one of the biggest tournaments that was going at the time and cemented themselves as the best team. And KRL was the in-game leader. So they basically cleaned up for the rest of the year. First place, first place, first place, first place. More again, Icy Box. They beat Reason, best team in the world. First place, first place. First place in the EPS in France. First place, first place, first place, first place. First place, first place, all the way through. There was this weird thing where I can't even remember what happened here. They had to forfeit a tournament. They just had to forfeit. They couldn't compete, so they got 7-8. So that doesn't even count. They dropped out of the EMS season. And then you will notice, all of a sudden, there's a first place for KRL. But what happened here? And this is the cool part of the story. So, MaxLan 2009, remember, very games with the reigning MaxLan champions. There'd been a split, and I can't even remember what it was over. But basically, very games, and KRL had a falling out. And KRL and RPK were like best buds. We used to call him the Tank Whisperer, right? Because RPK was just insane at this point in his career. Like, the best rifler you ever saw. Like, mental. And KRL and him were, like, simpatico. They were, like, fucking blood brothers, you know? And so, Very Games lost KRL and RPK. Big deal. But, you will notice, they ended up with some, you know, their new iteration of Very Games. Looked pretty alright, actually. They had Emstead. Who's he? That's Happy. Right? So they had Happy there. CRZ, you won't remember him. Shock, you won't remember him either. A young chap called Existence came in. I'm not young, but, you know, he'd been doing the rounds from Belgium. And he was like this unbelievable flamboyant orper. You see, you're looking at that and you're thinking Existence is the IGL. But you're wrong, because it was Regnum, homie. It was Regnum. Regnum was the next IGL in the evolution of French IGLs. Existence was a super flamboyant, crazy orper at this time in his career. He was like literally the guy with all the frag movies. And Regnum was the IGL. And so KRL had one simple goal when he went to this LAN event. And that was basically to make sure that fucking Very Games regretted losing his team. And you can see here, he took Matteo and Smith and RPK and him and said, sorry, Regnum, obviously you're going to stay and be the IGL of Very Games. Fuck you. They employed a guy called Shox and they stuck it up Very Games' ass at this LAN and won 1,500 glittering euros. Now, it wasn't success they were able to sustain, Nameless. And there is a frag movie about it. You can go and have a look at the frag movie. Eyeshield did it. A French movie maker called Eyeshield. It's literally on YouTube. There's a bit where RPK clutches against Very Games, I think, and KRL like gives him a big smooch. You can go and find that now on YouTube. So anyway, KRL was the original great IGL that built French success in Source and by extension in CSGO. So if you don't know who he is, you should know who he is. He learned his trade from a 1.6 IGL called Hart, he studied him loads at 1.6 lands and everything, and then he said, I'm going to become an IGL, built the Very Games team, super sick eye for talent, always got the best out of his players, mad passionate player, used to love it, and had a super cool little bit in his history where he actually got to wreck Very Games. He was the only guy at the time that could undo Very Games because he just fucking, you know, was that good as of an IGL. So, yep, that's a little bit of history about KRL for you. Now we're going to get back to talking about how shit esports is and how esports is kind of going back to fucking normal. So this one came across my desk as well, and this has some interesting ramifications. This is nothing to do with CSGO and everything to do with Valorant. This was from a few days ago. Valorant pros take to Twitter alleging they are owed thousands by Nerd Street Gamers. So, you know Nerd Street Gamers? Nerd Street Gamers are particularly, like, well-liked. You know, they run, like, they've run local American smoo in the chat. Nerd Street Scammers. You know, they're well-liked by the community. And they've run local tournaments and local events. And they've been doing it for a while. And they've got a reasonably good reputation, I would say, you know, compared to some other TOs out there. But the days of late payments are back, ladies and gentlemen. They are coming back. Players, it used to be if you waited more, like in recent years, if you wait more than 30 days, something's up. Back in the day, it wasn't uncommon. I mean, one of the things people forget is I was absolutely despised by ESL for this. But when I was editor of Cadred, ESL, this is in 2010, ESL were getting big into StarCraft 2. And so one of the expectations you had if you were a StarCraft player and you were traveling was your org didn't pay for your travel. This was new in esports. Usually how it would work is your org would pay for your travel, your hotel, you would compete. They'd take a tiny little cut of the prize money, but it was all done basically on sponsor money. That was how it would work, right? But then for StarCraft, they were like, well, we're the biggest game in the world. And so we want to be paid to travel. And it was worth it because at an emergent time when Twitch was coming out and YouTube was coming out to the forefront, if you wanted to have big audience, you had to have big name players there. So ESL had been running Source tournaments, Counter-Strike Source tournaments, for fucking years and years and years. And people used to wait months to get their money. Sometimes there would have been like another two or three tournaments between payouts. I got an email sent to me by Counter-Strike Source players that had been told explicitly in this email they'd been waiting 10 months for their money, right? 10 fucking months. And I got sent this email, and in it it said, we're sorry we cannot pay you this month, but we have to cover the costs of the StarCraft 2 players that are traveling to our events. They said that. This is how esports was back then. They explicitly said that in black and white, as if that wouldn't be a problem. I got that email and published it. Wrote a little editorial about how it was a disgrace. You know, about how ESL, you know, their bedrock had been Source, right? And once 1.6 had started dying away, Source was the game they went to prop up all their leagues, ladders, large part of their popularity. But they weren't paying out the prize money to the players. So you get these things cyclically, but generally, where we've been in the last few years, we've been in a good spot. We've been in a place now where if you go to a Blast or you go to ESL event, you know, an IEM or whatever, you get your money 30 days, no problem. Prize money has been treated like it should be, sacrosanct. It's got to be the one thing you don't fuck with. And sometimes even quicker than that. I've heard some, like, legendary fast payouts, you know. It ain't like, you know, there have been a few tournaments down the years where you just get the money at the event, literally at the end of the event. You press a button and it's just in there. And you can go and spend it if you want. But in general, you know, you wait 30 days. But here we go. Late payments are nothing new in the world of esports. It's true. Big true. But several North American Valorant players have gone to social media to express that they are waiting on payments from Nerd Street gamers ranging into the thousands of dollars. Late payment issues, a staple problem of esports, have reared their ugly head in Valorant as players and talent allege that Nerd Street gamers owe them thousands in tournament winnings and payments. The news broke on the 2nd of January as first in a series of tweets that was released by Timothy Frosty ZK Lie. Subsequently, dozens of pros and talents tweeted out similar experiences. Others spoke confidentially to Dot Esports as part of a report published yesterday. Dot Esports claims that details of the late payments have been known since at least December. You can see, has anyone been paid for the Nerd Street 50k LAN in August? Big smiley face. Several players replied saying they had been paid for their work, while others said they hadn't. It's unclear how many people are owed money, as it appears to be a limited number who are awaiting payment. Lai's tweet is in regard to the Nerd Street Summer Championship Finals for 2022, which took place in August 2022. TSM FTX finished second at this tournament and have alleged they are still waiting on payment. And they really, really do need the money after the FTX thing. They really, 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 really do need the money. So anyway, let's just quickly also drop a little bit of knowledge on this. Another esports classic, another esports staple, things that happen in esports that happen since time immemorial. Why have some people been paid and some people haven't? Well, what you do is you make an assessment at the time. Who's going to make the most noise? Who's pissed off? Who sent the most threatening emails? Who's used the lawyer word? You know, and you as an unscrupulous TO, you go through and da-da-da-da, you make all these decisions, and essentially, you give some people some. Sometimes you just, fuck it, chance it. Like, I'll just pay some people out random. You know, first come, first served. Whoever we've got at the top of the list, they're going to get it. It doesn't matter, no rhyme or reason. Which, in retrospect, it seems a bit of an oversight that you don't shut TSM up first. Team social media, they're the fucking ones that you definitely want to put the mouthpiece on. But anyway, members of other teams, including former Ghost Gaming Core, Oxygen Esports, Shopify Rebels, and Teal Seam Vapor, I'm guessing that's a deliberate spoonerism of SEAL Team, have also, as opposed to a typo, have also said they are awaiting payment from events they had taken part in. This includes the Game Changers Championships in NA, with others publicly stating how much they are owed. It was also alleged that members of staff have not been paid as well. And scroll down to that part. Look at this. Is Nerd Street going to pay talent and production that have been waiting months for their competition first, or what? Now, this is fucking unbelievable. Like, not only are you not paying out prize money, you use the excuse, sponsors didn't pay us, it's not our fault. It's not true, it's still your fault, but you use that excuse every time, okay? To not pay your fucking, your crew, that's insane, because how would you ever run the event without the money in the bank to pay the people literally running the event, doing it for you? And someone called John Fazio, not to be confused with Fascio, I imagine, says we're doing our best to get everyone paid ASAP. Anyone outstanding can contact me directly for an update on timing. Unfortunately, we're often at the mercy of third parties, like brands and publishers, doesn't specify who or what, that we produce these events on behalf of. When they don't pay, we're on the hook. Yes, that's exactly right. That's why you've got to have some money in the bank. And it's particularly interesting because Game Changers, well, that's like a Riot-sanctioned event. And what people probably don't realize is Nerd Street Gamers have been fucking propped up. They are a go-to of Riot's to use to do all these tournaments. So that's got to get the noggin jogging, right? Like, so wait, Riot Games, they got a bit of cash lying around. They like using these people to run their tournaments third party. And yet, what, they're just on their own when people leave them high and dry? These developers that he's talking about, these publishers and developers? Well, what's going on there? Now, the fact that all of this has come tumbling out in public, you know, there's one thing Riot hate. It's not that they hate a scandal because a scandal means something bad has happened. They hate a scandal when it goes public because it means Riot might look bad. And as we all know, Riot have never done anything wrong ever since they came into the scene in 2009. Riot Games are the great benevolent force that are going to change the whole of esports forever, for good, for everyone. They're going to make the internet a better place. They've never done anything wrong. So the idea that this guy, Nerd Street Gamers, is sort of publicly intimating, look, even for things like Game Changers, were kind of out there dangling in the wind. Riot won't like that. They never like being called on their bullshit. Take it from me. Take it from first hand. There's a little paragraph here I'll add, because this was a report on Esports GG. They reached out directly to Nerd Street Gamers for comment, and they said, despite the situation, we're getting through the backlog of payments as swiftly as we can. So remember, it is January, right? And at least there's one tournament from August. I don't consider that acceptable. I don't know what people think is an acceptable amount of time to wait for prize money, but I don't consider it like 6 months for me. I think at the end of the day, five. August, September, October, November, December. We're not really all the way through January, are we? So, but I don't consider it an acceptable amount of time to be waiting for prize money. And to say that we're working through a backlog of payments as swiftly as we can, you know, what as swiftly as we can mean? Like, because, you know, we still don't even understand the precise nature of the delay. He goes, as of next week, all of Valorant Summer's Championship payments will be completed for both prizes and staff. For staff? God, that's so shocking. We're hoping to have Frag's payments all caught up by next month, and we're working with Riot on a resolution for VCT. So, it's so crazy to me. Like, put it this way, if Riot, one of the things that I talked about, and I alluded to this in other Valorant videos and articles, and people didn't really understand what I was getting at, and it's 2023, and it's okay to be explicit, because Richard doesn't give a fuck anymore. Here's how it works. Riot Games have always wanted to use partners to run tournaments that they feel they can trust, not necessarily to deliver the best in terms of production or reliability or whatever it is, just people they trust to, you know, fall on the grenade if one is necessary to fall upon, people they've got established relationships with, people that they know are willing to kind of, you know, go a bit above and beyond what they should just to stay in Riot's good graces. That's one of the things that they, you know, always insist upon. That's just been something that's just the nature of the beast. If you want to work with Riot Games, you must show fealty. You must bend the knee and prove that you are worthy of their attention and good graces. And you had so many people ahead of Valorant franchising, like, that were running these community cups and tournaments for Riot events, and they were doing it not because they want to run a community tournament or event for business reasons, because that's bullshit, that's bollocks. It's such a ball ache to do these things. No, they were doing it like, look, if we show we can do all these super cool things, maybe we get us ahead in the franchising thing. And they would explicitly say to Riot, like, does this help our chances? And Riot go, ooh, I don't know, why don't you show us what you can do though? Can't hurt, can it? And they were enjoying, you know, all these people going above and beyond, doing things that they didn't necessarily want to do or have to do or could afford to do, just all in the hope of getting some sort of quid pro quo down the fucking line. Well, it's Riot. You're never getting the quid pro quo. It's never coming. So we're back to the days where people are waiting for 6 fucking months to get their prize money.